Good morning. I'd like to read the most current prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Venerable Gelton Youngchen, Monica, Ballard Morton, Wayne Vogel, Leroy Ward, Glenn Woodrick, Charlie the Dog, Kiri Kajo the Red Hawk, Mooncalf the Kitty. Job search. Roseanne Barona, Travis Boone, Brian and Bandy, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Sarai, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kevde Lamazon Parimpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Venerable Lundub Tendron, Venerable Gelton Drokar, Venerable Chirky Lamo, Venerable Dechen Drokar. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. Jerry Anderson and family. Jorge Aurelio, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcissus Barona, Narcissus Barona Sr., Bob, Susie Boehm, Yuki Burrows, Betty Chow, Ted Domi, Tashi Doma, Ryan Edmonds, Mary Lou Flynn, Mildred Gooch, Tracy Haas Thompson, Kay Hansen, Christina Harrison, Annie Hassel, Kathy Hayashi, Kathy Hinkston, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnson, mother of Julie Lavelle Jones, Barry Judge, Florence Kaplan, Helen Kasanoff, Jessica Kasanoff, Betty Kelsey, Jonathan Kramer, Carol Lang, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, Robin Lynn, R.M., Georgia McDonald and family, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Susan McClure, Ginny McCoy, Kathy McDonald and family, Alvia Mahian family, Bruce Miller, Jason Miller, David Muller, family of Ballard Morton, Audrey Murphy, Stephanie Murphy, Evan Myrtle family, Fran Nash, Jessica Nunley, Marie Oliver, William Stover Oliver, Jay Pandya, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, James Rowan, and Teresa Creighton, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shah, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Jampa Tashi and mother, Lofsan Tupton, family of Leroy Ward, family of Wayne Vogel, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowiki, Margaret Young, Dorjan Kadro the Pigs, Otis Parker the Dog, and Raven the Cat. Good morning. Happy Sunday morning. My name is Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming in through this door. And when he does, if you would please stand out of respect for him and his teachings, then you'll see people, he and other people prostrating. And if you are not comfortable with prostrating, that's perfectly fine not to do so. It's just a practice that we do. It's an antidote to pride. And we will be saying some prayers in the Go Prayer Book. The first one's on page 34. And if you have... and it's in the seat behind your chair, in the pocket behind your chair. And if you have the white binder, then most of the prayers are on the either the it's the first page. It says Kadampa Center prayers. It's on the front or the back of the page. This table right here has offerings from the Tara practice that we did yesterday. That Karen and I did, and we just leave it up so that other people can see it to benefit from looking at the offering setup. And I think later they'll need volunteers to take it down. Children are welcome to come to the front and sit up here if they like. Geshe-la has said that it's very good merit and purification practice to circumambulate the stupa outside. It's that beautiful structure outside with all the lovely carvings. And the reason is because inside the stupa there are Dharmakaya relics. And those relics are, what would you call it? Like higher level than like relics that you see, maybe if you saw bones of Shakyamuni Buddha or some of the other the bodhisattvas and teachers. Those are secondary relics. Dharmakaya relics are primary relics, and they are in the stupa. So that's why, due to the power of the holy objects, there's great purification and accumulation of merit just by walking around the stupa just one time. And then also spinning the prayer wheels just one time. There's one on Geshe-la's desk table. And there are some outside and some as you come into the this room right outside the door. And just by spinning it one time, you get the merit of all the mantras that are printed inside the prayer wheel. So just turning that is great merit. If you have cell phones, if you please turn them off or put them on mute. And I'm sure Geshe-la will be inviting people to make comments or answer questions. And if so, please wait for the handheld mic and put it very close to your mouth so that it picks up, because we do have people who have not, who cannot come to the session, and they want to be part of the this classroom atmosphere, this experience. Okay. So let's just settle our minds to get ready for the teachings.
Good morning. I'm going to make a couple of very quick announcements before Geshe-la arrives. Today's a little bit different program than usual. He's going to teach until about 11:15, and then we're going to have our annual meeting where you get to get filled in on everything that's going on behind the scenes. So you'll hear from Jill, our center manager. I'll tell you a little bit about spiritual programs. David will fill us in on the finances. I think Robbie's not going to be able to be here today because he's not well. I also wanted to mention, after the meeting, if you're interested in learning the Tibetan dances that we'll be doing next week at the Tibetan New Year celebration, then stick around and we'll go through that. And also, we will need some help. You can see this beautiful offering table here. We had Tara practice last night, and if we could have a few volunteers to help take that down, that would be great. Thanks. Geshe-la should be here very soon. Another quick announcement. We're all enjoying this wonderful spring weather, and if you like to get out in the sun and get your hands dirty, next Saturday morning, if it doesn't rain, is grounds day here at the center, where we'll be doing some planting and getting the grounds all beautiful for summer. I think it's from 9 to 12. So if you're interested in that, just let you know about it. Thanks.
So in the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to page 34. And if you have the white binder, just turn to the first page that says Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll chant the Shakyamuni Mantra, Buddha Mantra. That's before the title that says Daily Prayers. Above that, you see a mantra. That's what we're going to chant three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now go down to where it says the four measurables, and we'll read that in English one time. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now go to page 37, and we'll chant, it says the four measurables chanting version towards the bottom. We'll chant that one time. And if you have the white binder, it's the words by the music notes. Sen chen tam che de wa dang de we yu dang dem par jor chi du There's two mantras below that. It says Chen Rezig's mantra, and then Green Tara's mantra. So let's chant Chen Rezig's mantra. He's the Buddha of great compassion, eight times, and then Green Tara's mantra for enlightened activity, seven times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om tare tu re soha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. Maybe short meditations. Okay, short meditations. Well, thank you. today we don't have much time, so there are some kind of meeting, so supposed to stop 11:15. Yeah. So please, would you mind take maybe one moment, few moments to introduce yourself? So then I will, you know, lead the class. Well, thank you very much. I think last time we had very wonderful discussions about, initially I asked about what is meditation and how we do meditation, why we do meditation. Then from there, interesting conversations took place. Maybe we can continue the discussions. While you are discussing, I can take a short nap. anybody want to say something like, you know, like, do you remember last Sunday we have discussions? whether anger is useful or not. So we have a lot of discussions. I've been thinking about, you know, not every single day, but last couple of days I've been thinking, you know, based on experience, you know, we all have experience. Based on my own experience, I've been thinking, it seems like that anger is helping us to get what we want. But according to this book, it's written in like around 4th century, anger is negative. There's nothing positive about anger. Anger is negative. No matter how we use or how we praise anger, but anger is considered as very negative, the most destructive emotion. So, see, so many things happen in our life, you know, as a communities, we face certain challenge. As a country, as a community, as a group, you know, we face common challenge. Then there's individual challenge. You face something I don't face, you know, I face something you don't face. For me it's a problem, for you it's no problem. So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. So now the question, why is happening? No, why is happening? You know, why is happening like that? Some people say there's reason. Some people, they just, it's just random. It's just, it's no reason. It just happened. It just happened. There's no reason. It just happened. So all kind of different kind of theories or ideas. So So according to Buddhism, you know, all the good things that's happening because of the cause and conditions, or cause and conditions. All the good things happening because of cause and conditions. So even though we show some anger, maybe something that, you know, that you like that person to respond to you, or that you say nicely, that person not responding to you, then you say something nasty, then that person maybe scared, or I don't know why the person responds to you. It seems like the anger brings the result, but actually the result is not the result of anger. So I'm not sure how many you... otherwise it's kind of confusing. You know, when you show anger, sometimes you know, what you want can be accomplished showing some aggressive, but no, that's not the result. That's not the result. As far as Buddhism is concerned, that's not the result of anger. No, anger only brings negative results. It never brings positive results, because anger is negative things. There's nothing positive about anger. So then last Sunday, like one lady, she said, you know, anger motivates you to get more education, you know, then do more things, more good things. Anger motivates. So so maybe more discussion needed, based on our individual experience. So please contribute. We don't have much time, so I'm playing hooky. No pressure. So please don't be stingy. I'm sure each one of you have a lot to offer, no? And we all like to hear.
Geshe-la, I thought about it a little while, and I think that sometimes I can feel both anger and compassion for the same situation back and forth. I might be angry at someone who's stopping hurting somebody, but then compassion for the person who's being hurt. I think that if I look at it, when I'm angry, it really doesn't motivate me. It just keeps me not acting. But then I can switch back and forth to the compassion for the person, and that is actually what motivates me to do something positive. So I think that personally, when I look at it, even though I can switch back and forth in anger, you know, I might be angry at somebody who's hurting somebody, but the thing that actually does, when I look at it, motivate me is something like compassion.
Mm. Very good, yeah.
I think we've talked about anger, and then there's wrathfulness. My impression is that wrathfulness, where you need to forcefully say something, which might be you're trying to save your child's life because he tends to run out into the road, that's more like play acting. It doesn't necessarily mean your mind is in turmoil of anger, which has all those negative things associated with it. It just means that temporarily you must be very forceful, and so you appear to be wrathful and upset. If you're the boss and you've got to lead people in some direction, you might need to appear that way at times. But that's not the same as saying that inside your mind everything is in turmoil and you're all your thinking is all distorted by anger.
I agree completely with what both David and Aaron have said, and I think the anger just makes the mind unclear and muddy, and you think you're acting virtuously, but there can't be any virtue in anger. And I think the wrathfulness is I'd call it righteous indignation, which sounds like just an excuse to call it something other than anger, but it depends on how you use it more than what the word is. And it's got to be rooted in compassion in order to be helpful and virtuous, so no disagreement.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's been
waiting. For me personally, anger, I guess, is not a good thing, you know, but I can't escape the fact that it's going to happen. All right, I'm going to get angry. Mm-hmm. Right? It's what I do when I get angry. All right? And now with practice, you can kind of start picking up the anger kind of before it gets there, you know, and then kind of make a mindful decision to have that compassion, you know. And maybe the anger can motivate you to change a little bit, but usually it comes from, for me at least, from some type of fear, some type of trying to control a situation, or placing my happiness outside of myself. You know, trying to get happy from some other situation, some other person, and I guess I can't control it, you know. And then you have your morals and your principles, and they might conflict with somebody else's morals and principles, and that's when you have to have a little bit of compassion and be a little open-minded and say, well, we just think differently, you know. Maybe it's just a lack of understanding. Maybe it's, in order for you not to keep cultivating that anger and keep going with it, you know, because it's just, for me, it's a work in progress. It's something, it's a lifelong thing, I think, you know. It's just emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, you know, if like, see, do you mind if I jump in?
Yeah. No.
happy to take a nap. So, so it's like, I'm sure there's a lot of people wondering, like, why we have anger? Why we have anger? No, so. So now, according to Buddhism, like Buddhist, you know, like a philosophy or Buddhist teachings, we have desire, right? We have desire. Why we have desire? I don't know. Why we have desire? So I've been thinking, without desire, you can't survive. So. Desire to want something and desire to don't want something. So because of that, we do get angry. There's a reason why we get angry, because we have desire. So now, how is about if you don't have desire, then you have best happiness. You have best happiness, that you have all the happiness that you have, just happiness, that's all. But the desire won't just go away automatically. The people need to think. We need to think, you know, minimize or reduce. So now, based on our individual experience, so we more desire that we have, more vulnerable we become. See, that's part of desire, it's part of life. Because of desire, so then there's two types of desire. So there's some kind of obstacle taking place between those two desires. So there's the fuel. Fuel? There's the fuel. Fuel?
Fuel.
Fuel.
Huh?
Fuel.
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 Fuel. Yeah. Feels. My pronunciation is not good. Only word that I can pronounce correctly is downtown. downtown. I used to say downtown, but people don't understand this. Dr. Brown said, no, look, he says downtown. So downtown. Feel. So, then basically you find the food for anger, because the food is obstacles that are taking place between your two types of desire. So then what we do, as generally speaking, what we all do, not just you, we all, including myself, what we all do, we heavily rely on anger. The result, that jump, then you yourself is completely destroyed. You yourself completely destroyed. So that's the anger. It requires a lot of thinking. The challenging anger requires a lot of thinking. Without thinking, we can reduce the amount of the energy, the anger. There's no way. It won't just go, you know. Oh, external enemy. Oh, they are not there to harm you 24 hours. They have to cook. They have to eat. They have to nap. They have to sleep. They go to vacation, you know. Anger never take vacations. Anger don't need to clean house. Anger don't need to cook, you know, anger don't need to nap or sleep. It's there 24. Therefore, some of the masters say enemy is within. It's not out, it's within. So some people do see all this, you know, this like such as anger, jealousy, attachment, pride. Some people see, oh, these are the true enemies within myself. It's not necessarily someone out there. So then there's you, once you start to see that, you know, enemies within, so then there's a way to feel sympathy for people who get angry. And you feel sorry for them because they are poisoned. They are totally, they just know like, oh, then you see, oh, that person holding like fireball. I'm hoping that you are going to get burned. But actually this person is holding the fireball. Who's going to burn? You are going to burn. So then you see, you know, you see their destructive emotion as a problem, not as a person. Person, you know, person deserves love, kindness, compassion, person deserves respect. Everybody, including myself. Somebody smiles at you, you are happy. Somebody says something nice to you, you are happy. Doesn't matter if that person is Buddhist or Christian, or atheist, Asian, American, doesn't matter who says something nice to you, you are happy. You know? And you say something nice to them, so they are happy. Doesn't matter you are, whatever religion you believe in. Oh. So then you see, okay, everybody has problem. Now everybody has problem. Everybody, you know, has problems. When it's come down on enemy within, everybody has problems. So then, that's how the enlightened being see the person's thought, disturbing thought, as a problem, not as a person. Person, you can't label that person as evil. The person has, you know, this like occupied by this evil mind. So just want to share the enlightened being sees the, you know, this destructive emotion, thought, as a problem, not as a person. Person can be improved. That person has love, they have person has came, the seed of love, compassion, respect, all of that, you know. So it requires a lot of thinking, you know, just, you know, like once a while talk, then, you know, relying on anger. So if you want all the happiness, the book is in the home, so it's not here. And that book is one of this like collection of advice given by, you know, different masters. So Kalde Deva, something to think about. Kalde Deva Kuin Dunas, if you want all the happiness, if I want all the happiness, if you want all the happiness, Kalde Deva Kuin Dunas, Deva Tanja Yong Supans, abandon all the desire. Heart. Very, very hard. Is that true? Is that true? Now question, is that true? Is that true? Because I'm like having all kinds of problems because I have so much desire. Is that true? Deva tamje yong pang na, if you abandon all the desire, you achieve all the happiness. Huh? Something to think about. Something to think about. So sometimes you, what you say, like whatever, what that means, whatever. It means like, I think it's quite good, whatever. But we don't say that, you know, when we face some challenge, we don't say whatever, we say something else. Something to, you know, probably something to think about, needs to give some thought. So this is the just question, okay, I'm just throwing there. Siddhi means dislike. Kinde means or wanting to be happy. That very mindset, in this life, I want to be happy. This mindset, is that happiness or problem? Hmm? Luna could means, if like Luna means wind, wind. If you're holding a piece of paper, you just let it go, the wind will blow wherever it blows. So now you say, whatever, you say, wherever it blows, wherever. So the Chintu Dho, Luna could not change you, so Luna could not change you. If you vary that mind, you know, I want to be happy. According to Buddhism, happiness is dependent on causal conditions. Happiness is not just mere wish. It depends on causal conditions. I am responsible for my happiness, the next moment of happiness. You are responsible for your next moment of happiness. Oh. Each person is responsible for their own happiness. So according to Buddhism, happiness is, you know, caused by something. It's caused by something. It's not just random, you know. It's not like, oh, why the thorn? They stick on some thorn.
Thorn.
It's very sharp. Why it's sharp? It's just sharp. There's no, some people say there's no cause. It's just shape. It's just sharp. Peace. What about peace? Peace. Not the world peace. The food peace. What do you call? There's something that you eat, round one. Chickpeas, peas. Why is it round? It's just round. There's no reason, it's just round. But there's no truth, it's just cause. It's just cause why it becomes round, it's just cause why it becomes sharp. It's just, each thing has its own unique cause. It's caused by something, you know. All the colors on butterfly's wing, each one has different cause. According to each one has different cause. Hard to put into as a perspective, but everything has cause. Everything has cause. So, so unfortunately, there's no one answer. There's no one answer. It is complicated. It's very, very complicated. Not just complicated. It's very, very complicated. So therefore, it requires a lot of thinking. Oh. So now anger. Even just reading these books, you know, chapter number 6. There's dense information about how to challenge anger. So you just say, or you just sit and reviewing the word about anger, then you think. So then that become analytical meditation. So, so do we see our destructive emotion as an enemy? Do we see that? Do we see that as enemy? Do we see that's a problem? Or we just say, oh, my neighbor is a problem. Okay, my friend is a problem. Do we ever thought about, you know, our anger is a problem, anger is the enemy? Do we ever see that? That's the question. That's the main question. Oh. Enemy is within. If you want to eliminate, you eliminate that enemy. Then, simje misjun namgashyas, you know. Yeah, there's unruly being, or another way to say, how you say, unhappy people. Yeah, so that's probably much better, I think. It's much better, I'm not sure. Everywhere. You cannot simply eliminate them going after one by one. That's impossible. Chapter number 6 here. Simje misjun namgashi, teta shumji yong milas. This life is not long enough to eliminate all of them. Trove semdi chik chomna. So if you manage to destroy this one enemy that's within, which is anger, if you can eliminate that, it's equivalent of eliminating all of them. Is that true? Now question, is that true? Who said, no, I didn't say that, I didn't make this up? Shantideva said a long time ago. Is that true? So that is kind of interesting, you know, throughout the day, you know, all kinds of things happening. You wake up, you know, then you fix breakfast, you know. Sometimes the cooking stove, stop walking. Cooking stop walking. watching through the window, all of a sudden the milk and the water, the tea get overflow. There's thousand different ways that we lose our cool. Thousand different ways. So if you are a little mindful, we don't need to sacrifice our happiness for those small things. Or it can be clean, it can be, everything can be done. If there's nothing, Shanti Deva said, if there's nothing you can do, why you get angry? There's nothing you can do anyway. No. There's no reason to get angry. If you can fix something, why you get angry? You just fix. If there's something you can do, why you get upset, you just do. If there's nothing you can do, why you get upset? Then same, watching news. Is there something you can do? There's nothing you can do. Then maybe there's something you can do, you just turn off the TV. That's what you can do. At least that you can do, so you can turn off the TV. So that requires, that's why meditation is for. Meditation means thinking. We have to think. Not just one time, we have to think again and again. So there's meditation, there's something that you are not familiar, that you try to think in that way, so then it becomes good meditation about the downside of anger, that's of anger. just want to share that with you. So, sorry, time's over now. So then, the last thing that, whenever I say that, people kind of enjoy that, If you don't make yourself happy, other people make your life miserable. They're saying, it's not in this book, it's just saying, Tibetan saying, if you don't make yourself happy, so how you can make yourself happy, Physical happiness is easy to obtain. Or seeing something nice, or you're kind of happy, temporarily probably. Hearing something nice, you're kind of happy. Or eating something nice, like maybe some kind of like chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Food. Temporarily makes you kind of happy. touching something nice, taking hot shower. These are all physical happiness. It doesn't last very long. Why? It's because heavily dependent on object. If there's no object, when you go to Nepal, there's no Whole Food. Happiness based on the chocolate chip, hot chocolate chip cookie from Whole Food is gone. It's no longer there because the object is gone. If you manage to generate happiness by thinking, thinking something. It's not heavily dependent on object. Wherever you go, there you are. That means wherever you go, your mind is going to be there. So you manage to think something positive. Therefore, Dharamsala in exile government in northern India, in Dharamsala, on the mountains, there are many monks and nuns, they live on the mountains, cave. When you visit them, they have nothing. Materially, they have nothing. Are they depressed? No. Are they happy? They are very happy. Content? Happy. Why? They are thinking. So, you can do, I can do, everybody can do, because we all have mind. So bottom line, think something positive. Easy to say, not that easy to do. Think something positive. Think something good about yourself. Don't just be critical, be harsh, be negative. That's just what we should not think. What we should think about something good, precious. Not just precious, very precious. So meaningful, so difficult to find. There's this life, precious human life. As a Buddhist, the minute you wake up, you think about precious human life. You don't think of, I don't like my hair, and I don't like my clothes. You don't start your day with something negative thought. That's not good. And we need to try to start our day with some positive thought, some positive thought. I'm alive, I'm breathing, I can see. So many people in the world working so hard, not just themselves, whole family, spending a lot of money just to see. That's all. just to see how much happiness you get by seeing things, none, zero. So that's something, some need to think, doesn't have to be something dramatic, so easy to say things, something positive, you know. Thinking something positive is not that difficult. the same time, on the other hand, thinking something negative is also not that difficult. You can easily think something negative. If your mind is fine, no matter where you live, even though you live in the Cape, you are absolutely fine. If your mind is not fine, if you live in the White House, or maybe if you live in like big mansions, you are not happy. You are not a happy person. Because there is no happiness here. So, all my friends here, including myself, we all are responsible for our happiness. So the best way to produce that is to think something positive. Think something positive. Or be part of that other person's happiness. At least even like, if not able to give them happiness, at least not become obstacle for other person's happiness. You know? See, you may think, oh, you are doing something very important. Same time, you forget. You forget the point why you are doing prayer. For me, example, you know, like Vijayasambhu's nephew, little one, 7 years old boy. You know, he don't understand why I'm saying prayer. He has no idea. You know. He just asked me, oh, when you're going to finish, why are you saying so many prayers? He just wanted to play. Probably for me it's much better to play with him than saying prayer. Probably. You know, so sometimes you forget, you are so focused, okay, oh, this is something very important that I'm doing. You know, that having good time, that's not important. No, this is more important. And sometimes, unfortunately, you make other person miserable too. So then whole point is, what you are doing is just wasting time, that's all. Just wasting time doing nothing good for yourself, for others. Huh? So very interesting, like how much they enjoy life, how much we enjoy. The 7-year-old boy, the way he enjoys life probably much bigger than the way I enjoy my life, I think. No, he, like everything, something to play, not take very seriously. Everything's kind of serious, you know, something very, has to be something very serious. So anyway, so this morning, you know, he came to my room, I'm saying some of my morning prayer, and he's asking, why do I have to do this prayer all the time? I don't know. Very good question. Oh, I guess for happiness, no? Okay, yeah, now we need to stop, yeah, okay. Maybe see you next Sunday, yeah, okay.
Gold prayer book, would you please turn to page 246? And it's just the back of the page that says Kadampa Center Prayers in the white binder. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. Then they can find clothing. The hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.